Today's audio cast for Monday, May 28th, 2007 from AvWeb, the world's premier independent aviation news resource, is brought to you by Aviation Safety Magazine. I'm Mike Blakeney reporting. Flight instructor and electrical engineer Brad Whitsitt noticed that many of his flight students had much difficulty with crosswind landings, and his research into the problem found that improper crosswind landing techniques and wind gust encounters near the runway are the top causes of weather-related accidents. He decided to do something about this by merging his diverse backgrounds together to develop the X-Wind 200 Crosswind Landing Trainer. AvWeb Editor-in-Chief Chad Troutvetter spoke with Whitsitt to find out more about his new device.
Can you tell me a little bit about your background and how you got involved in all this?
Sure. Well, I worked in industrial automation controls for 16 years, and so I delivered automation projects all over the world, really. And then in 1992, I started flying while I was still doing that. Got all my instructor ratings and all that. And then began to flight instruct full-time in 2001, became chief and flight instructor of a flight school in Indianapolis, and that's how I kind of began to see the need for this simulator.
Now, you developed a crosswind landing trainer. Can you tell us how you developed that, how long it's taken to develop that, and what it does?
Yeah, in 2002, I kept seeing that it was such a tough thing for students to learn how to land in crosswinds, so with my controls background, I kept seeing that surely there was a way to give students more time to practice this issue. So I did my best to do something about it. First, I built a prototype in 2002, and we tested that a lot to kind of see if this made sense. And then early last year, we started developing the first commercial version. So I did all the AutoCAD work, electrical design work, software work, put it all together, figured out how to do it, put a bunch of qualified people on it to say, hey, does this feel like an airplane? And that's how we got to where we are.
Now, the simulator moves on the floor, is that right? And what's the visual like?
Yeah, it's the simulator is mounted on a track, and it moves laterally. It moves left and right on a 16-foot wide track. The visual out in front, the feedback to the student, is a center line on the floor, and the cowling of the aircraft itself. We also place a target on a tripod out in front, about 30 feet, and use that as a target for the laser pointer on the machine. So the feedback is really three-dimensional, just like an airplane, and it exercises the peripheral vision, just like an airplane.
Now, what kind of skills does this train the pilot to have? I know you talked about, in an earlier conversation, you talked about adverse yaw and some bank controls. How does this all work?
Yeah, well, what we're after is first trying to help the student understand insight into all of the things that are going on during crosswind landings. But the types of things that they really practice is assertively using the feet for alignment. Many pilots are very weak at that. The other is being able to practice many, many crab-to-slip transitions and slip-to-crab transitions. Being able to do that quickly and precisely is what we're after. Plus, then, we can hit the simulator with gusts and turbulence and let them work on their reactions, both in the alignment with their feet, the assertiveness with their feet, and then the correct kind of control with the ailerons, controlling bank angle. And you did mention adverse yaw and induced roll. The simulator simulates all those things, and we help them to understand the impact of those forces on a landing, especially in gusty conditions when they're cranking around on the ailerons, inducing some yaw. We help them understand that and see that and recognize how to handle those things.
Now, is there a lot of accidents caused by crosswind landings?
Yeah, as we began to research it, we were looking at the NTSB data. There are now 7 years of data available on the Internet. If you go to the NTSB website and look at the PDF files for general aviation statistics, anytime weather is cited as a cause or factor in the last 7 years, crosswinds is always number one. Gusts are number two. So we're picking on both of those issues.
Now, where can pilots see this simulator in action?
We have the simulator being used for training at Montgomery Aviation at the Indianapolis Executive Airport on the north side of Indianapolis. That's KTYQ. We also will have it at Oshkosh this year at Air Venture booth 778 in the fly market.
How much does it cost for training, and what do you get for that cost?
For $140, we give students 2 hours on the simulator, and what they get is a packet of 12 to 15 pages of a lot of terms and tips and insights into crosswind landings, plus internet links and information about accident statistics and all that. We illustrate those terms on the simulator, and then we go through a syllabus where we practice all of the issues that we can to help them with the controls, everything from forward slips to side slips to crab-to-slip transitions. We also have a touchdown mode in the simulator where we actually signal touchdown, and they can practice rolling that aileron into the wind and holding it while they steer with their feet and returning back to flight. So we just keep upping the complexity throughout the training as long as they're able to handle it. And by the end, they're much, much more effective with their feet and hands and much more confident about what to do.
Now, if you weren't using a simulator, how long would it take in an airplane to get this kind of experience?
Well, we've done some estimating that most of the time you get 5 seconds of practice in an actual crosswind where it really counts. On the way down to the runway, as long as you fly the plane, you're not going to hurt yourself. But what matters is when you get down to the concrete, can you get it aligned? Can you keep it over the center line? So you only have 5 seconds of practice, and then you got to go all the way around and do it again. So I don't know if it's reasonable to estimate how they compare, but certainly you would spend thousands of dollars in an airplane to try to get the same kind of experience in a sim like this where you're in that situation constantly.
Now, is the simulator, is it approved by the FAA, or is it, or you're seeking that?
We are seeking that. We are also looking toward the insurance industry because they pay out a lot of money for these types of accidents. Not as many people, it's not as often a fatal accident, but oftentimes they're bending lots of metal and causing lots of damage to aircraft. So we're seeking the FAA. We're also after the insurance industry. We don't have anything to report on that yet, but we're working on it.
Now, you're also trying to gain some insight from aviators right now on your website, right?
Yes. If you go to xwindsim.com, there's a big yellow button that says Free Crosswind Skill Evaluation. And there's a fairly, 18 technical questions or something like that, where we're trying to test people's insights into crosswind landings. We're using that data to kind of see if there's some correlation between a pilot's years of experience or flight time and their insight into these technical questions. So we certainly encourage people to take that survey. It's no reflection on anybody's insight. It's simply an effort to try to see how we can help people do this better.
Now, have you partnered with any kind of association like Flight Safety Foundation, or have you explored that yet?
We're still working on those issues. It's just that in the last year, we've focused more on gathering history and actually training people so we know what we're talking about.
Anything else you want to add, Brad, before I let you go?
Not really. We also think there's some potential for this type of simulation to be used for conventional gear or tail dragger airplanes, where people are trying to learn how to handle a tail dragger on the ground. We've not worked on that yet, but we've been working with some people who can see some value in that. So we think there may be something there as well.
Now, would that apply to instruction for a tailwheel sign-off?
I don't know. It should, because it would be exercising the use of the rudder pedals, what I call the foot-eye coordination, which I think a lot of times in the tricycle gear planes, we don't exercise those feet very much, and often we're weak at it as pilots. So we're looking into that, too.
Brad Whitsitt, inventor of the X-Wing 200 Crosswind Landing Trainer. For breaking aviation news, be sure to log on to avweb.com. Now presented more often in a more reader-friendly format. This report was brought to you by Aviation Safety, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention. Comments on this audiocast are welcome at audionews@avweb.com. Look for AvWeb's next audiocast on Friday, June 1st. I'm Mike Blakeney for AvWeb Audio. Thanks for listening.